is going to be a very, very special Christmas in ways that we're not expecting. But we need to be believing for and expecting from the Lord. That's that interactive faith, you know, expecting. He spoke to me and said, this Christmas season is going to be, this coming season is going to be coming season. This season, whatever that season looks like, however long it is. Maybe from now until Passover season. But there are going to again be suddenlies. I remember several years ago he gave me that message about Mary and how he came suddenly to Mary after generations of virgins had been preparing because of Isaiah's prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel. And I just imagine, it doesn't really say it in the Bible, but I just imagine that they were telling the virgins to prepare, because they had no idea when that would come, when Emmanuel would actually come, and they probably weren't expecting it as long as it was, but it was not overnight for sure when they first heard that there would be a child born of a virgin. So I would imagine that there were women teaching the young women that this could be you. I mean, we're preparing our children for the coming of the Lord, and we don't know when that's going to be. And so I would imagine they were preparing. I haven't looked into Jewish history or what they taught the young women, but if anybody knows, I'd sure like to hear. But I imagine that the women, the young virgins, were always preparing and looking. And because Mary didn't seem to be so hesitant, according to the word, she certainly was curious as to how in the world that was going to happen. But if we'll go to that scripture in Luke, you've got your Bibles with you. Let's go to Luke. Luke 1:26. And one night Mary was startled. What would you children do if an angel came in your room and said your name? That'd be a very interesting way. It was the 6 months of her pregnancy. We're talking about her Aunt Elizabeth. Because when she heard her Aunt Elizabeth, I guess that was, yes. Wait a minute. I got the wrong one, right? Wrong. Oh, that's the right one. I'm sorry. I have a different version here, so it's come through me. And in the 6 months of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent down from God to a city of Galilee by the name of Nazareth. Her pregnancy is talking about Elizabeth's pregnancy, because that was in the former chapter. To a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph out of the house of David. And the name of the virgin was, anybody know who the name of Jesus' mother was?
Mary.
Mom.
Oh.
You called Mom.
Thank you, Caleb. We got the right answer. Your dad's just a little fun, trying to be a funny. But eventually he called him on. And when he came to her, he said, "Hail, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was confused over the message and was wondering what sort of greeting it might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Miriam, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you will call him Yeshua," or Jesus. I'm reading out of a Jewish Bible here. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will reign over the house of David forever, and his kingdom will not end." And Miriam said to the angel, "How will that be? I have not had intimacy with a husband." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and power of the Most High will cover you. For the reason of the Holy One who is birthed will be called the Son of God. And behold, your kin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is her sixth month from her being called barren. Because with God, nothing's impossible." And Miriam said, "Behold, the servant of the Lord. May it be according to your word." Then the angel left from her. This was a suddenly. And I just wonder if the recording is left anything out. Don't you ever wonder that? You think she, like, looked surprised, or what do you think? What do you think Mary looked like when the angel came and told her that she was going to have a baby? That was probably quite the night. We know it was definitely. So the first thing she did was went to visit her aunt, who was pregnant also, because her aunt was John the Baptist's mother. And so she went to stay with her. And when she got there, do you know what happened, kids? When she got to the door and her aunt saw her, the baby inside her tummy leaped up and recognized that Mary was carrying Jesus. And they weren't even born yet. How about that? Isn't that amazing? It was an amazing greeting, an amazing coming together. And the both of them began singing a wonderful song to the Lord, because her aunt, who was carrying that baby, she had wanted to have a baby for so many years and never had one. And she was kind of getting up in age. And yet here she was. Finally, suddenly, she had a baby in her tummy too. And that was going to be Jesus's cousin. Do you have cousins? Anybody here have cousins? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, I got their kids on here. So there was Mary and Miriam rejoicing and singing. And they were probably crying too, because sometimes when I'm so happy and I sing, I'm crying. Sometimes we ladies do. I don't know about you men, but I know sometimes we ladies do that. They were so happy. And there was only one big problem to be solved. And that was the fact that Miriam was engaged, but she wasn't married yet. And so she spent time with her Aunt Elizabeth and her uncle, because he was the priest, and they knew that she had a holy child in her womb. And so that day that she went to Miriam, she stayed for a long time, She probably stayed and helped deliver John the Baptist, because that's who her aunt was carrying, John the Baptist. And so Miriam was rejoicing. And then there was another suddenly. There was another suddenly. Suddenly, one night, Mary's fiance, that she was engaged to marry, had a dream. Jesus had to be told, that this message about Jesus had to be told to Joseph, because he thought, oh my goodness, she's pregnant. I can't be the father. We haven't been married yet. But God came. He came and he visited Joseph, and he said, Joseph, Mary's baby is from God. He's the Son of the Most High. Can you imagine? Can you guys imagine that? Your wife's pregnant and God's saying, it ain't yours, but it's God's. Boy, I bet that was some dream. Because he knew he was a man of God and he knew the prophecy. He had to know. He had to have been taught. Because they were waiting for a Messiah to be born. And so he immediately paid attention to what God said. And when it was found out that she was pregnant, he said, no, 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 no. I am not divorcing her, even though he thought about it at first. Because God spoke to him and said, no, this is the Son of God, the promised Messiah. And then they had to go somewhere. Anybody know where they had to go? Where did the kids go? Where?
Egypt.
Well, not yet. They had to go somewhere first. Because when they went to Egypt, Jesus was born. But he wasn't born yet. He's still pregnant. Okay? So what happened? Anybody know where they went? Where they had to go?
Bethlehem.
Anybody know why they had to go far away when she was pregnant?
Taxes.
Oh, the IRS in Bethlehem. Well, they had to be counted. It was called a census. And so they had to travel a long way from where they lived. And do you know what? As any of you remember how big your mama was just before the baby was going to be born? You remember how big they were? Do you not remember your mama's tummy that big? Well, good. That's a miracle. You don't remember? Elijah, you don't remember when Joy was in mommy's tummy and how big her tummy was? Did you forget? Sort of? Yeah. I bet Ryan remembers. Well, you remember your wife, and
I'm happily married too. I ain't talking.
Well, that is the only time women are happy they're fat, right? I will tell you. So there they went to Bethlehem. And I'm going to put this on pause, and I'm going to tell you something about that. There is a new version of the birth of Jesus and the Chosen, and I don't know if anyone here has seen it. Have you seen it? Anybody? You've seen it? Raise your hand if you've seen it. Wow. Did it look like it was a picnic? Did it look like it was fun?
No, if you didn't see that, that's in the movie theater.
Oh, okay. Well, it was the real deal. They put on a new show, a new version. That's what it was really like. And it was not easy. It was She was very close to giving birth when they got to Bethlehem, as you know. And you know how women feel, women, when they're close to birth. And she's on a donkey. And she has made a long trip. And in that long trip, she's carrying a huge baby ready to come. And you women can testify that have had babies what that would be like.
I wouldn't be out of that.
Well, God didn't pick you because of that reason. There's only one he picked. Well, she was very young. She was extremely young. But still, it was very trying. And when they got there, she was ready to give birth. And what happens when you're ready to give birth, ladies, you know, you don't have to say it. But things are uncomfortable and a bit messy. And all she had was a staple. The Lord had to come in a low, low stable. Because he had to be able to identify with every person in the world. He was a king. And yet he was born in the lowliest place. And so at that time is when the shepherds came after the baby was born. After Jesus was born, the shepherds came. Because the angels had told them to come. Now, the wise men didn't get there until later, until when Jesus was a little bit grown. But the shepherds came because they were the ones in charge with the Passover lamb. They were the ones preparing the Passover lamb. They knew what this meant because they knew the prophecies. And so it was a time of rejoicing for them. And for all mankind, actually. That's why we sing, glory to God, in the highest. Emmanuel was born. And I want to go back a little bit. I want to go back a little bit to what I was talking about the other day when I taught about the laws of God. And the laws of sowing and reaping. And the laws are the words, because Jesus came, he was the Word. But he was the Word before he came. He was the living Word. He was the God, he was the part of the Godhead that created, because God spoke the Word, and the world was created. There were words. All through history, God used creative words to speak his will. In every book of the Bible, that's what prophets were. They brought forth the word that God gave them to bring forth his will on the earth. And so in the very beginning, it said, the word was spoken out of God's mouth. And when Jesus came, the word became flesh. And when God created man, he created us. He said, we are creating them in our image. Talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We were created in his image. And so we have the ability to be creative. That's why he gave man authority over the earth. Adam named all the creatures on the earth. He didn't name it by thinking about it. He named it by speaking. He was speaking. And as he's releasing Jesus, the Word, he's releasing the creative power of God. And that has not been taken from man. Our words brought together with the living word brought together with his truth is still a creative force. When we speak, Jesus said, life and death are in the power of the tongue. We have power. We have power to bring the will of God in every situation. We can speak the word of God at his bidding. And it's a creative force. The word has not lost, Jesus has not lost his creative ability. But he uses and speaks it through us. That's why it's so important that we understand and know the word and hear the voice of God and use the word interactively. Because the word is the truth. Jesus didn't tell Satan to go away. He didn't know what he was talking about. And he didn't say, I know better than you. He demonstrated his will by speaking the word. And when he spoke the word, he was giving us the clue of what our job is too. To know and speak his word. Because when we speak the word, his power is released. Because he is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and now he still dwells among us, in us, with his creative power. And this is our responsibility, to rule and reign with him. And this is our training ground. We're training for reigning. And we need to understand the power of sowing and reaping, because words are things that we sow. And we have to watch our words, that our words are not careless, they don't curse, they don't gossip, they don't talk bad about people. You know, we all have to watch what we speak, because the Bible says we have to be accountable for every single word we've spoken. And that is kind of frightening. But it's true, because the Bible says so. Unless we repented, I'm hoping that if we repent of those things that we spoke that were sin, that they're under the blood. But I've taught over and over again how words have changed children, and I know that Beth, since she started working with those children at school, she's seen the fruit of her words, because those kids just love her. They just love her, don't they, Beth?
Hope so.
Well, they do. They do. All their parents are saying, we missed you when you're gone. Where have you been? Words make a big difference. The words that you speak to your children, especially the fathers, they are very, very weighty. And as you bless your children with truth and good words, it makes a huge difference with all your poor fathers. I know what it meant in my life, the words that my father spoke to me. And I'm sure you know what the words that your father said to you meant. But we have a responsibility, each one of us, to understand that God has given us power, creative power. He made us in his image. And as we declare his word on earth as it is in heaven, then things change. I was listening to a testimony by Heidi Baker the other day. And I don't know if everybody knows who Heidi Baker is, but she's been a missionary in Africa for 20, 30 years. I'm not sure how long, maybe more. And she has a ministry to the poor in Africa, she and her husband. And her husband is a pilot, and they take many, many things to different places in Africa, because a plane is a lot of ways they deliver things in Africa. And I've listened to her in the last few months and what's happening over there recently. And there, where she's located, she is in, you'll come to me in a minute. It's a long, long word. She is in the area that they're in now, there are a lot of Muslims. And all the Christians are being persecuted unmercifully. And how they keep going is difficult for her. And she's gotten to the place where it's really difficult on her own self. Sometimes she just says, Lord, I don't know how much more I can watch. But she was telling a story about her husband. Her husband contracted a disease that messed up his brain. And it just ruined his brain. And he was in bed, hospitalized for a very long time. I think it was 2 years, maybe more. And that was at the time that they thought that he was not going to make it. They just didn't think, and she didn't think he was going to make it either. But God told her, I want you to go to the hospital where they're quarantined, and I want you to go, and I want you to pray for everybody that had the bubonic plague or whatever plague it was. And she said, I don't know if they'll let me in, because they don't let anybody in. But they knew her, so they let her in. And when she went and obeyed the Lord, she went to every single person in that hospital and prayed over them. And she said, she just went up to their faces, and they just, it was not a pretty picture. But she prayed for every single person in that hospital. And every single person in that hospital was healed. And it wasn't too long after that of that her husband took a turn for the better. And yet there was a missionary there that went to visit her husband. And she didn't know if he could receive a visitor, but the young man insisted, and she knew who he was, so she let him go visit her husband at the hospital. And they sat him up in the chair. And here's a man who doesn't know anything. He's just totally gone. They sat him up in the chair. And this young man began to speak the words of life over him, the word of God. And he began to speak that to his name and tell him, you are going to fly again. And he started speaking to him and what he was going to be doing again. And she was really kind of getting upset. She was saying, this is cruel. She was saying to the Lord, she wasn't telling the God. She said, this is cruel. How can you do this when you see his condition? You know what's happening. He brought him a toy airplane. And he put it in his hand. And he said, you're going to fly again. And she just kept getting so upset at this young man. But this young man was prophesying to that man. And within a short period of time, her husband was completely healed. And then she understood. She understood what was happening. But she was so upset. How could you say those things when you know it's not possible? That's tempting. That's making him feel bad. But those words were a creative force. And she planted the seed by obedience to go pray for others. And God healed her husband. And he travels all over the world with her now, still flying. And that meant so much to him when that minister came and ministered life to him. The power of that. It was the creative power of God coming through that ministry. And we have that ability. God gives us that ability. And so I'm praying personally, myself, that God will help me to be in line with what he wants to say and do with people's lives. I don't want to speak what I see. I don't want to have sympathy. I want to have power, and I want to pray the way Jesus would pray. Jesus never, never spoke in a way that was not healing. And I want my words to line up with his truth. Because I know that there's power in his words and his truth. And we all need to hold on to that. We all need to remember that in our own life. It's changed my life. It's changed other people's lives. And I want to continue to see his creative power through us work. As we understand his word and we line up with what he is saying and speaking it in the places he's calling us to speak it. It's not just in the pulpit that we speak the word. It's every single day that we speak his word, that we have opportunity to. And those words matter, and what we say makes a difference. If we can either speak life, our own ideas, which is not really always life, probably, or we can speak death. We can speak what we see, or we can speak what God says, and see what God will do, and how God will change the circumstances, because that's what God's all about. He's all about lining things up with his word. So tonight, as we meditate on what he came for and what he did, everything that happened was pre-spoken. Everything in the word years and years ago has come to pass. That is the power of God's word. And he uses the prophets to speak his will. And he hasn't stopped. So we need to pay heed to his word and our word and what our role is in carrying out his will on this earth. That's why he came. And he's coming soon. Praise God.
Amen.
He's coming soon. Hallelujah.